This week, the building was full. For 5 straight days, it was just buzzing with energy and excitement, and the kids laughed and sang and played games. They made new friends, they memorized scripture and sticky scriptures, and they learned about Jesus. And all week long, this place was a place of refuge. These kids knew that they were loved. They knew that they were safe. They were excited to get there. Like, I heard from so many parents that their kids were waking up early just to ask, can we go? Can we go? And they're like, not yet. And then on the last day, some of the kids were sad because it was the last day of camp. But what a great place to be. At that point where you're desperate, you want more, you're loving it, you know how much there is. But what I loved most personally is that as I stood up front each morning to kind of do our opening ceremony and our closing ceremony, something struck me as these kids were all sitting in their crews. Every single child was here because somebody invited them. A mom, a dad, a grandparent, a neighbor, a friend. One teacher at Belmore even invited a family to come and check out our church. Someone simply said, why don't you come with me? Or why don't you come with my kids? And because somebody was willing to extend that simple invitation, children heard about Jesus, families experienced the love of our church, seeds of faith were planted, lives are being impacted. And it's not because the invitation was extraordinary. It's because Jesus is. And that's what I want us to celebrate. And it's interesting because John, his gospel, starts in a very similar way. Not with a sermon, not with a miracle, not even with a crowd. But it begins with one person inviting another person to come and see Jesus. So if you have your Bible, turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 1, because we are continuing our Gone Fishing series, and today's message is called Come and See, because one invitation can change a life forever. So let's read this together, starting in verse 35. The following day, John the Baptist was again standing with 2 of his disciples. As Jesus walked by, John looked at him and declared, "Look, there is the Lamb of God." And when John's 2 disciples heard this, they followed Jesus. Jesus looked around and saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They replied, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come and see," he said. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon when they went with him to the place where he was staying, and they remained with him the rest of the day. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of these men who heard what John said and then followed Jesus. Andrew went to find his brother Simon and told him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. Then Andrew brought Simon to meet Jesus. Looking intently at Simon, Jesus said, "Your name is Simon, son of John, but you will be called Cephas," which means Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Come, follow me." Philip was from Bethsaida, Andrew and Peter's hometown. Philip went to look for Nathanael and told him, "We have found the very person Moses and the prophets wrote about. His name is Jesus, the son of Joseph from Nazareth." "Nazareth!" exclaimed Nathanael. "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" "Come and see for yourself," Philip replied. As they approached, Jesus said, "Now here is a genuine son of Israel, a man of complete integrity." "How do you know about me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus replied, "I could see you under the fig tree before Philip found you." Then Nathanael exclaimed, "Rabbi, you are the son of God, the king of Israel." So Jesus asked him, "Do you believe this just because I told you I had seen you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than this." Then he said, "I tell you the truth. You will all see heaven open and the angels of God going up and down on the Son of Man, the one who is the stairway between heaven and earth. May God bless the reading of his word. So I want you to notice something. Before Andrew ever invited Peter, before Philip ever invited Nathanael, who was the very first person to extend an invitation? It was Jesus. These two guys were hanging out with John. They had been following John the Baptist, who was pointing the way to Jesus, making the way ready. And then he says, there's the Lamb of God. There's the Son of God. And these two guys follow him. And Jesus turns around. He's like, what do you guys want? They're like, we want to know where you're staying. We want to spend more time with you. And he says, come and see. So Jesus says, come and see. And then Andrew says, come and meet Jesus. And then Jesus says, follow me. And then Philip runs off and says, come and see. And there's this pattern that's emerging within the text. It's like a ripple effect. Because Jesus invites, and then Andrew invites, and Philip invites, and eventually the church invites. But it all begins with Jesus. And I think that's one of the most beautiful things about Christianity is we love because he first loved us. We forgive because he first forgave us. We invite others because he first invited us. And I love it. Jesus always makes the first move. That's what I love about this passage and why it was on my heart as we went through this Gone Fishing series to focus on this after camp. Because sure, it required our invitation, but I truly believe Jesus has been pursuing and inviting long before we ever entered the picture. Jesus is the one taking the initiative. Andrew, in this text, he wasn't looking for Jesus. Jesus invited Andrew. Philip wasn't wandering around just hoping to bump into the Messiah. Jesus found Philip. Nathanael thought he was coming to investigate Jesus, only to discover that Jesus already knew him. And that's what I love, is that Christianity doesn't begin with people searching for God. It begins with God coming to us. That's the gospel, that God always makes the first move. Have you ever wondered why you're here today? Like, maybe you're here this morning because your kids came to kids camp this year or one of the previous years. That's how we got to know Matthew and Yelena, who are part of our church family and are still serving in our camp this year. Or maybe a neighbor or a friend invited you to church, or maybe someone shared a clip of one of our services online. But can I suggest something else? Maybe, just maybe, underneath all of those invitations, Jesus has been inviting you all along. Jesus has been pursuing you, planting the seeds, getting you ready, preparing you for that invitation. Because here's what happens when someone genuinely encounters Jesus. When someone genuinely meets Jesus, we naturally begin introducing him to others. Because meeting Jesus changes what we can't stop talking about. I was going to make this point, meeting Jesus changes what we talk about, but it sounds like it's just a change of topic. But meeting Jesus changes what we can't stop talking about because it's that incredible. Notice Andrew. Andrew was one of the first people to follow Jesus. He wasn't famous. He wasn't a preacher or a theologian. Most people simply knew him as Simon's brother. He was just an ordinary guy who spent one afternoon with Jesus. But after meeting Jesus, the very next thing Andrew did was he went looking for his brother. Why? Because when you discover something incredible, you can't stop talking about it. And naturally, you want the people that you love to experience it too. And in verse 42 of this text, John simply says, Andrew brought Simon to Jesus. And I love that sentence because that's all Andrew really does. That's all Andrew needed to do. He didn't try to change Simon. He didn't try to fix Simon. He didn't even try to have all the answers ready. He simply brought his brother to Jesus. And he trusted Jesus to do what only Jesus can do. And I believe that's our job too. Our responsibility isn't to go out and change people's lives. Our responsibility is to simply introduce people to Jesus and let them take their next steps toward him. Let Jesus do what only Jesus can do. And we saw a beautiful picture of this at kids camp this past week. One family sent their daughter to camp on Monday. And that night I got a call from the mom asking, can we still register our son? Because our daughter had such a great time that he wants to come and be part of her group. So of course, sign him up. Put him as part of the blue team. And what I love is that it's because she had experienced something so wonderful that she wanted her brother to experience it too. And it was her witness and her testimony going home saying, you won't believe what happened. You won't believe what I experienced, that he said, I want that too. And that reminds me of when Andrew met Jesus. Immediately, he runs off looking for his brother. Because when you experience something that has genuinely impacted you, you naturally want to share it with the people you love. When you genuinely encounter Jesus, you don't keep him to yourself. You can't keep him to yourself. Meeting Jesus changes what we talk about and changes what we can't stop talking about. And while this verse is one of the shortest moments in the story, it's one of the most important. Because think about this. Andrew, he never writes a book of the Bible. We never read about him preaching to thousands of people. He never becomes a central figure of the early church. Yet one quiet afternoon, he brings his brother to Jesus. And God uses that simple act to change the course of history. Andrew didn't make a major name for himself, but every time Peter preached, every time Peter healed, every time Peter led, somewhere in the background stood that quiet invitation, come and meet Jesus. So let me ask you, who is your Simon? Who has God already placed in your life that could use an invitation? That you could simply invite to come and see Jesus? But Andrew wasn't the only one. The story continues. Philip finds Nathanael. And Nathanael, while he's not exactly enthusiastic, he responds with, Nazareth? Can anything good come from Nazareth? In other words, he's like, seriously? Jesus from Nazareth? But what I love is that Philip doesn't get defensive. He doesn't argue or debate. He doesn't throw out 20 Old Testament Bible prophecies at him. He simply smiles and says, come and see. I love it because Philip understood something that we often forget. You don't have to have all the answers. You just have to help people meet Jesus. And can I tell you something? That's incredibly freeing. Like, especially as a pastor, I sometimes, especially in the early days, felt like it was my job to come in and intercede and intervene and to save people. But Jesus convicted me of that, saying, this isn't about you, Kevin. This is about me. Bring people to me. I think one of the biggest reasons Christians don't talk about Jesus, don't invite, don't share, is because we're afraid someone will ask a question that we can't answer. And I get it. Again, I've been there. What about suffering? What about science? What about all these other religions? And we start thinking, I don't know enough, so I shouldn't say anything, or else they're going to ask things I don't know. But what I love is that Philip didn't have any answers either. He had one sentence, come and see. Because our responsibility isn't to convince people. Our responsibility is to introduce people to Jesus and trust Jesus to do what only he can do. Because an invitation opens doors that an argument never could. Very few people argue their way into the kingdom of God. More often than not, they meet someone who introduces them to Jesus. So stop trying to win arguments. Just Just start introducing people to Jesus. Invite them to come and see what God is doing. And think about your story. Who invited you? Maybe it was a parent who didn't invite you but dragged you. Maybe it was a friend or a coworker, a teacher, a neighbor. But for many of us, we are sitting here today because at some point, someone extended us an invitation. And I don't just mean an invitation to the well, but if you're a follower of Jesus today, think about the people that God used to help introduce you to him. Who invited you to church? Who talked to you about Jesus? Who helped you take those first steps of faith? And if you're still exploring faith, maybe someone's invitation is the very reason you're here this morning. As I've shared before, for me, it was two girls who invited me to a Halloween youth event. And I honestly don't remember the event. I couldn't tell you what we did, what we talked about. I don't remember any games. But I remember the invitation. And it was that invitation that connected me with people who ultimately introduced me to Jesus, who helped me fall in love with Jesus, to grow in a deeper understanding of who Jesus is. And that's exactly what happened here this week. Kids camp happened because somebody invited these kids, parents and grandparents, friends and teachers. They're all saying, come and see, you've got to see this. And I truly believe that underneath every human invitation is a divine one. Because here's the beautiful thing. Long before we ever started looking for Jesus, Jesus was already looking for us. And when Jesus looks at us, he doesn't see us the way everyone else does. He sees beyond our questions, beyond our doubts, beyond our past, and he sees who we can become in him. Because Jesus sees people differently than we do. If you notice Nathanael, everyone sees him as the skeptic. Like, I'm not sure much good can come out of this. And if we're honest, if we knew him, we would probably write him off. Ah, he's closed-minded. He's not interested. There is no way he'll ever believe. He's already made up his mind. But Jesus looks at him, and he doesn't see a skeptic. He sees a future disciple. Jesus has never looked at someone and said, hopeless. Never. But it makes me wonder, who have I written off that Jesus hasn't? A family member, an adult child, a neighbor, a coworker, a friend, someone that we've quietly decided, they're too far gone. They'll never believe in Jesus. But what if Jesus sees something that we don't? Because watch what happens. Philip brings Nathanael to Jesus, and Nathanael thinks he's coming to inspect Jesus, to investigate him, and instead Jesus says, yeah, I know you. I saw you under the fig tree. Like, can you imagine how shocking that would have been for Nathanael? Like, before he had ever spoken a word, Jesus already knew him. Before Nathanael ever believed, Jesus already saw him. Before Nathanael ever chose Jesus, Jesus had already been pursuing Nathanael. And that's the gospel. Jesus always makes the first move. And it makes me laugh because sometimes we think, I'm just going to check out church. I'm just going to see what this Jesus thing is all about. Or at least I want my kids to have good morals and learn about Jesus at church. And maybe, again, you're here because your kids came to camp or a friend invited you or you saw our sign on the front and you wanted to learn more. Maybe you've even been attending for a while, but you're still trying to figure all of these things out. But let me suggest something. You may think you're here checking out Jesus, but perhaps Jesus has been pursuing you far longer than you've been pursuing him. And he knows your story, your questions, your doubts, your fears. He knows the things nobody else knows. And he still says, come and see. The passage ends with Jesus saying to Nathanael, you believe in me because I told you I saw you under a fig tree? Buckle up. You're going to see greater things than this. In other words, Jesus is saying, Nathanael, you haven't seen anything yet. He would see Jesus heal the sick, restore the broken, welcome the outcast, lay down his life on a cross, and then 3 days later, rise from the grave. And friends, Jesus still invites each one of us to see more of who he is, more of his grace, more of his power, more of his love, more of his work in the world around us. He's saying, you think you've seen my glory? Just wait, the best is yet to come. And this week we caught a glimpse of that work. We watched kids singing their hearts out, raising their hands, swaying them all around, dancing, jumping up and down, laughing, learning, making new friends, and hearing about Jesus. And why? Because Jesus is pursuing them. Whether they come to this church or not, Jesus created them. Jesus has a purpose for them. Jesus loves them. Someone simply said, come and see. And as we look around the room, every person here has a story of someone inviting you. Come and see. Some are very plain and simple. Some border on the miraculous. I've met people and spoken with people who the invitation to come and see Jesus came through visions and dreams, and they woke up saying, I need to meet this Jesus. But underneath every human invitation is a divine one. Because whether you arrived through an invitation, walked through these doors on your own, or you're still trying to understand why you're here, Jesus has been saying the very same thing all along. Come and see. Come and see my grace. Come and see my forgiveness. Come and see my love. And the stats are coming out with Gen Z, which is my kids' generation, that they are desperate for Jesus. They are desperate for spiritual answers, for authenticity. They're growing up in a world of AI and technology that is just changing every day, but they want what's real. And they're flocking to churches. They're looking for these experiences, and some of them are going to more traditional and liturgical services because there's the sense and there's the traditions and kind of the method to follow. But at the end of the day, what they're wanting is an experience with Jesus. And they're saying, look, we hear that weird stuff goes on there. People are getting healed. People are being filled with the Spirit. People who are filled with rage are now like filled with this uncontrollable joy. And we want that. So let's not be afraid to be weird. That's what people are looking for. That's what we say we believe. And yes, it does seem weird to those outside the faith, but they're desperate for it. They want the hope. They want to know that there is more to life than what the world is offering. And that's why Jesus brings us to this table and invites us to once again come and see, come and remember. Because this table is an open invitation to everyone who's placed their faith in Christ, to people who are taking their next step toward him. And it doesn't matter if you've been following him for years or today's your first day. If you're saying, yes, I surrender, I'm putting my faith, my trust in Jesus, he says, come, come and see. And maybe your first step of faith is simply coming to his table. But if you're still exploring faith, you're not sure you're ready, there's no pressure to participate. But listen to his words. They're words of invitation. He says, take, eat, drink. remember. They're all invitational words, an invitation to come close, an invitation to remember his sacrifice, to receive his grace, and to place our trust in him again. And what we remember is that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he shared a meal with his disciples, and during the meal, he took some bread and he passed it around. He gave thanks and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body given for you." And then after the meal, he picks up the cup and he says, "This is my blood that's poured out for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Do this in remembrance of me." So before Andrew brought Peter to Jesus, Andrew first met Jesus himself. Before Philip invited Nathanael, Philip first responded to Jesus. And before we go out and invite others, we must first answer the invitation ourselves. So today, before we leave this place, before we think about who we might invite, the people who God placed in our lives, let's respond to the invitation that Jesus is extending to us. As we come to this table, we come to remember, we come to receive, and we come to trust again. So listen to the words of Jesus, who says, "Come and see." So I'm going to pray in just a moment and then invite you to come forward and receive the elements. And again, you can give toward our compassion fund during this time. Well, let's go to him in prayer. Jesus, I thank you for always making the first move, for loving us so much that you stepped out of heaven and stepped into our world, our lives, our mess, because you loved us. Long before we went looking for you, you came looking for us. You saw us, you knew us, and you invited us to come and see. So I thank you for your grace, for your forgiveness, and for your love. As we come to your table, quiet our hearts. Help us remember your body given for us and your blood poured out for us. Forgive us for the ways we've wandered and help us place our trust in you again. And as we receive your invitation, show us the people you've placed in our lives. Give us the courage to extend that simple invitation to come and see. And Lord, we pray for those who are affected by the fires in Northern Ontario. Protect them, comfort them, and use the gifts we give today to bring practical help, healing, and hope. So Jesus, we do this now in remembrance of you. Meet us here at your table. In your name we pray. Amen.